Well, as I said, we had a seminar yesterday and had the privilege of hearing from Christian and also Cheryl speaking to the ladies, and it was a blessed time. And so it's our privilege today also to have Christian preach to us, and you know, it's a blessing for me to sit down and hear someone else preach, which is a important thing for pastors also to hear other preachers every now and then to be refreshed, so it's good. But just many of you know Christian, and they've been here before, but just to give a brief introduction again. So Christian and his wife Cheryl, they live in Berlin, Germany, and Christian is the president of the Bible school there, European Bible Training Center, or EBTC shorthand, which is one of the Master's Academy International Schools, and Christian studied at the Master's Seminary, obviously many years before me, but at the same school where I studied, and he's also a pastor of a church there, Cornerstone Church in English, but it's a German speaking church, Ecksteingemeinde or something like Ecksteingemeinde, Cornerstone Church in Berlin. So we're very thankful for them, and I always mention this, but yeah, Christian's mother is from Finland, so they have a special connection to Finland, and we're very thankful for their friendship and to have Christian you preach for us again. So please welcome.
So it's a joy to be here, and it's a joy to share God's word with you. I want to bring greetings from the church in Berlin. The Cornerstone Church of Berlin, and now my team, the EBTC team. But I also, it was interesting, just when before we came, I found out that my mother lived for 3 years here in Tammerfors, she said. So I didn't even know that that means Tammer, but whatever. So she lived here with her parents when she was young, and he worked for the textile industry. So something, you know, common, at least in this way. But I want to focus our intention today on Timothy, a letter from Paul to Timothy, the first letter from Paul to Timothy in the second chapter. And I named the passage the Evangelistic Prayer. It is a prayer that the focus on Paul giving Timothy focus on prayer. This is essential, and I will say more about that. But Spurgeon once said to his own congregation that he definitely sees their congregation earning a crown because they are such a people who always try to reach the lost, always try to evangelize, and they are definitely a people who love the Lord. And they were, I don't know what you know about Spurgeon, but he started over 100 churches and organizations, Christian organizations. I even was allowed to preach in one which was 130 years old when I was there to preach. And just reminding that this man was not only a good preacher, but he was a good evangelist, and he was a Bible church planter. But he said to his own congregation, even if we did all that, even if we are the best evangelist, we have to pray. We have to be on our knees, because what can we add to anybody's life without prayer? What can we do to reach anybody for Christ if we don't pray? And he said, even so, if we have a crown, one thing we have to do always, we have to be in prayer. And John MacArthur says that prayer is one of the most important things for the local church. There's no... you can spend a lot of time in studying the Word of God, but ultimately it comes down that you have to invest your time into prayer. There are many people who said that we can talk about a lot of things, we can pray for everybody's needs, but have you prayed for the lost souls of your community, of the world? The Bible makes clear that prayer is a very, very important part of God's plan to save the lost. And Finland needs it as much as Germany and any other place. there's still over 90% of the people usually who are not saved. I mean, I think there are 2% believers in Germany. That's what I estimate, and that's even high. Really Bible-believing. So what is with all the others, 89%? How does it look in Finland? How many people know Christ? God is a saving God. In Daniel chapter 9, he says, Daniel talks in chapter 9, let's open it up, just to get a glimpse of how God is thinking about man and in prayer. In chapter 9, verses 17 to 19, he says the following: "So now God listens to the prayer of his servant and to his supplication. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolated sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplication before you an account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive." This is God. He is a forgiving God. Oh Lord, listen and take action. This is what Daniel said. "For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name." He wants us to be involved in prayer. God is a saving God. He wants to forgive. In Acts chapter 7, verses 16, he has a similar account where he talks, where we read in chapter 7, verse 16, "Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' Having said this, he fell asleep." This is Stephen. He understood, even in his death, that prayer is a noteworthy thing to do in order for the salvation of the people he was involved with. Paul himself, in Romans 9, he was wishing to be damned in order to save his people. If you open up to Romans chapter 9, verses 3, Paul said the following: "For I could wish that I myself would be accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." He wanted them, and that's the prayer. He wanted if he could, but he could not, obviously. It's impossible. It is impossible. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart desires and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." This is his heart. This was always his heart. This is God. You cannot bring any soul to God if you don't pray for them. God wants to be implored. He wants that we take our tools of prayer, our tools we have given God from God, in order to communicate with Christ and pray for the souls of the lost. So what does Paul say in 1 Timothy about prayer? What does he say? How does it start? First of all, he says, "I urge entreaties and prayer, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men." It's interesting. What kind of prayer is he asking for? Paul understands, after he writes a letter to Timothy and explains how important his ministry is, and that he has a call to the ministry to the unbelievers, and he implores Timothy to be reminded of that. He said, first of all, and that it means the most important thing for you as a local church, Timothy, is to pray. Be on your knees. It doesn't matter what you know about God. You know, knowledge is not that what brings somebody to Christ. It's really, it's a prayer and the knowledge and the testimony of us to pray for the people. And so he says, most of all, do pray for them. Entreat his prayer, and petition and thanksgiving may be made known. So he says, what does he mean? Why does he need to thanksgiving? He basically is saying, Paul is saying to Timothy, for the first thing of all, you need to pray for the people because something is missing in their life. Something is not present in their life. And he talks about salvation here. He talks that there's a deficit in the people's life, and that's why you have to petition for that, and you have to petition for the life of those people. And then he goes on. He said that you have to petition for their lives. And it's like in Hebrews, he wants them to just basically cry out. He said, Paul says for Timothy to cry out to God to save the people. And he goes in a little bit more into detail what he means by that. He basically, maybe you can go to Romans 8:26. And here he says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. So he basically says we need to implore God that he gives us understanding and the heart and the desire for the lost souls. He wants to raise our understanding, that we understand we have to pray for the lost people. And we need to basically fall in line with God's wish, as we read before, God's wish for people to be saved. So, looking back to 1 Timothy, he says, be made known for all men. So the depths, the breadth of the petition is not limited to few people. It's not limited. It's basically, he asks that we pray for everyone. We pray for everyone. It's not limited to any group, not only to the Finnish people or to the Russian people or to the German people or something. It's not limited. It's you know, the breadth of the request is worldwide. It affects every person. And that's very important. I very often say, prayer can be done everywhere, anywhere in the world, and for everybody. So that's important to understand. It's not limited. And yet, well, we say, but who will receive that prayer? Who will answer to this prayer? And will God really save every person? Well, that's a very important question. And he says, for the kings of all, and especially for the kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in godliness and dignity. Why would he say to specifically pray for people in authority? Because we have to realize that we are under authority of the king of the government in Finland, of the people, the politicians, or of the people who are in charge, police and military, whatever. We need to pray for their salvation, that they would not oppress us, that we will be able to be in freedom, expressing our Christian teaching, our life, and what we want to expose as Christians. Because it's not, you know, you could understand, if you read this passage, you can think, well, is he talking that we have a tranquil life, that we have a life that we can live at ease and enjoy life in our surrounding? like maybe maybe we want to go to the beach and enjoy our nice beach house or country house on the island. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's basically talking about, because Paul is saying you should employ, you should pray for the people in charge, because they can make your life miserable and they can hinder you for being a testimony to the gospel in the world. And we know that it's the case. In many, many other countries, people cannot talk about Christ freely. It just came last week from a country like that. I was in Turkey, I was in Istanbul for the purpose of reaching the lost, for the purpose of setting up some training ministry in Istanbul in Turkey. And that weekend alone, three people who have lived there for over 20 years were asked, they were revoked their visas, and some of them were asked to leave the country in the time being because they could just stay on a tourist visa, and yet they had huge companies in that country, but because they are Christian and committed Christian, they were revoked their visa. And that's actually what we are what we should pray for. We should pray that our country are benevolent and nice to us so that we can reach them with the truth, with the gospel. And it's true. It's true that in this prayer that there's also an attitude of all men. What does it mean, all men? Jesus, in general, we see always God in... Let me just give a few verses, maybe. In Ezekiel 33, verses 11, God wants people to be saved. He's not a person who is happy about people people being not saved. In chapter 33, verses 11, we read, let me just go to that. So, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from the way of, from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? So he applauded Israel to turn back from their wicked ways. Another passage which makes sure that makes clear that God has his desire is for the salvation of all people is in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9.
Follow him. Ryan
And he says, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from the temptation and keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment and especially for those who indulge in flesh. Sorry, this is I think I have the wrong passage.
Verse 9.
Then the Lord knows the rescue of the godly from temptation and keep... Is it? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. See? The Lord is not slow about his promises, so some count slowness, but impatient toward you, not wishing for any of you to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And the same we know out of John 16 and 18, but we understand also that God in his desire that people are saved knows also people who do not respond to the truth and will stay in the unbelief, and that they will be their judgment will be on them. In Matthew 22 verse 14 he says clearly that many are called but few are chosen. And that is the case, what we have to also realize when we understand his prayer, the request, what Paul is doing, and asking Timothy to pray for all men. He understands that only few will come to know us, but we don't know. We are not the ones who know who's going to be saved. So we want to pray for all people. We want that all people are saved. And yet, at the same time, we understand that only few will come. Few will come to be called. And so the importance of this part of the prayer is where he says, this is that we should pray for the tranquility of our life is in order that we can be declaring the gospel in the world. And he says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of his truth. So that's something he desires, really. And then he goes on, he does not only say the breath of the evangelistic prayer is to all of the people. Few will come. But he says, for the God is a mediator. And then he says, who is a mediator? What is giving us, who brings us to salvation? There's only one way. And that's what we have to always understand. Nobody, there's just one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. That's Christ Jesus. I always talk to our congregation and to our people, understanding, you know, we can talk about 1,000 things in our as Christians. And, you know, about a lot of things when it comes to Christianity, when we want to talk, what is a Christian really is? It's somebody who follows Christ, and we have to understand that there's only one way to become a Christian, and that is the gospel, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if we neglect to see that as a focus point of our life and of our ministry and of our prayer, we miss the mark. Because we can't go to somebody and say, well, there's another way to come to Christ. There's no other way to come to Christ. There's no other way to be saved. There's just only one way to be saved. And that's very clear in this evangelistic prayer from what Paul is praying to Timothy. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And this is important. It's like Jesus is with one leg in eternity and one leg in the presence, where we have the only opportunity through Jesus Christ to come to salvation and to come to eternity. There's no other way. It's very clear. There's no other way. There's no other way but how we can become, how we can become saved. And this, the imploring and the opportunity for us to have a tranquil life is really to reach out to the people with the gospel and with the truth. And he says in verse 6, who have gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. So there's not only that he is the only way, it's the only timely way it was done. There's no other time in history, no other time anywhere where God would have saved people. It's through Jesus Christ. He was, you know, it was a perfect time when he came and when salvation was offered to the people, because the history of the Old Testament looked forward to it. All the New Testament looked backward to the cross, and that was his time. And on the cross, he gave the ransom for all, the testimony given to at the proper time. His life was given as a ransom. What does it mean actually to be a ransom? He's a substitute for us. What we should have deserved as people, he gave. He paid the price. And I was working with a man together. His name is Steve Lanetti, and he was on the island of Taliabu amongst some people in Indonesia who did not even know their own language. Their language was not even written in a proper way. So he went to that island. They wrote down the language, and then they shared the gospel to them. with them. And he made very clear that he that all what they have believed in the past, which was very, they were believing in spirits and gods, and they were worshiping the nature, and they had the they had a belief that at some point people left the island with the truth and with salvation, and they couldn't reach it anymore. And then when they came, they said, "We expected this white man to come and bring us back salvation." And so they came, but obviously salvation was offered in a different way. They realized that Jesus Christ, they shared the whole this plan of salvation through the Old Testament, and realized there is a Savior, Jesus Christ. They shared the situation that a lamb needed to be sacrificed for the sins of the people, and so on and so on. And then suddenly, at the one day, Christ was killed on the cross, and they said, all their hope was gone. They said, how can that be? How can this only Savior, who you presented to us through the whole Old Testament, I mean, that took them, I think it took them 7 years to come to that point, to teach that passage. And it was so dramatic that they said, how can Jesus Christ die? And they realized at that point, he died because of me. Because of me. I did that he was on the cross. And so they waited through the night, because they wanted to hear the rest of the story. And they did not know and did not understand that something else must happen. They understand, yeah, the Bible, the Old Testament, basically promises that there is a Savior, so there must be something else coming. And next day they understood that Jesus Christ did not only die, but he raised again and took their sin onto the cross and paid with his life for their sins. It was so illustrative, and it was so clear when you see it, but sometimes we forget that. We sometimes forget that Jesus Christ had to die for us. And we forget that people have to understand the story. They have to understand that they are sinners, and they will be damned to death. Eternal punishment will be, they will be forever separated from God and in hell if they don't repent. And this is exactly what Paul is saying here to Timothy. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. And you have to understand why Jesus Christ is the only tie, the only testimony, the only ransom that is given to man. And he said that to the time when he was in Asia Minor, and when Timothy was in that area, probably in Ephesus or some of the other churches in that area, and was told them, you have to send, give that message. And think about it, where that is. Where Timothy was at that time. Probably in Turkey. Today, they think there are probably 6,000-7,000 believers in Turkey. It was, in that time, there were many churches, huge Christian nation, but what happened? Are we praying, imploring God to save people? How do we understand that it's the only testimony given by God, and it's the only means given by God? For this reason I appointed, and he said then in verse 6, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at this proper time, for this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, Paul said, as a teacher of the Gentiles, faith and truth. So he reminded Timothy that this is the only reason why Paul exists. That's the only reason why Paul's ministry exists, is that he gives this message of repentance to the people he served during his time, and that he wanted now Timothy to do the same. He wanted him to go on and pass this knowledge, this understanding on to the next generation. And he wants us to pray for that. He wants him as a church to first and foremost pray for this salvation of the people. And he makes that so important. He emphasizes that because he wants Timothy to understand this is not a side issue. This is the most important issue for our individual local churches, is to pray for the salvation of the people and to understand that that is the only message given, is Christ Jesus. And in verse 8 then he says, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. So there's that in this passage he puts a lot in. He gives Timothy the understanding that he wants, he understands they have to pray foremost, but he also expects Timothy to pass on the baton to the next generation, to the next people, and that men should be men of prayer. What men are known for, they are known by, holy men are known by praying and holding up hands. Now you can say, okay, this is a pretty charismatic passage, lifting up holy hands, but that's not what it says, what it means. It's really, he wants a man to have holy hands. That means they need to be devout men who love the Lord and who live according to that, to Christ, and live a life separated for the to God and to His honor and so to His glory. So when you come to this passage, and it's very important that we understand that this prayer is it's really petitioning to reach all men. The breath is to everyone. It has one message. Jesus Christ needs to be, need to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that we need to be separated. We need to have a God's sovereign hand over our churches so that we can, in freedom, teach and preach the Word of God, that people might come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we are able to testify of this message in freedom, as Paul did and Timothy did to a certain extent. As you all know, Paul himself was in jail for the gospel message, but he was, even in doing this imprisonment, was able to teach the gospel of the message of Christ. Yeah, let me pray. Father God, we are indeed grateful for your goodness and your kindness to us. Thank you that you are, that you have given us the truth, that you have given us the saving message of the gospel, and that only through Jesus Christ man can be saved, and that your desire is that all men be saved. And yet we know that only few will respond to the truth, and only few will really turn from turn to Christ. And I pray, Father, that you will, that especially here in Tampa, you will bring many, many people to Christ, and that our focus is not on the things that are passing away, but on the eternal, and on the people who need salvation, and Father, you alone can really save people and bring people to know the Lord. And we ask that each one of us will be faithful in presenting the gospel and living the gospel out with a life that is exemplary to the world, and people will see that we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.